Once upon a time, there was a little tree. It sure was little. It was so little, you could hardly see it. It was this little. No, smaller than that. It was this little. What? You say that a tree can't be that little? Oh, yes, it could. This tree was so little that it was just a seed. That's right. A seed can be a little tree. A seed could be a little bush, or a little vine, or a little flower. But this one was a little tree. And it was just as small as a dot. Well now, this tree was being carried along with a whole bunch of other trees by a squirrel. How can a squirrel carry a whole bunch of trees, you might ask? Well, all of these trees were seeds, and they were all hanging from a pine cone. You know what a pine cone is. It's sort of shaped like an ice cream cone, a little. But it's those things that fall off of pine trees. You find lots and lots of them lying under pine trees, especially in a pine forest, and that's exactly where the pine came when the squirrel picked it up. The squirrel was planning to eat all of the seeds in that pine cone. You see, it was winter time, and there wasn't very much food, and the squirrel had to find anything he could get to eat, because otherwise he would go hungry. Well, as the squirrel was running along, it was bumping and bumping over the ground, and some of the seeds fell out of the pine cone, including the seed with our little tree in it. And the seed landed right on top of a nice, soft bed of snow. There the seed lay in the early morning sunshine of this winter day. I guess to you or me, that seed would have looked just like a piece of dust on the snow. I guess that's because we don't really care much about seeds or what they look like. But you know who really cared? A crow. Yep, a big, black, hungry crow flew down out of a tree and began hopping around on the snow looking for anything that it could eat. And that crow had taught itself how to recognize seeds, how to tell when something was dirt, and how to tell when it was good food. And seeds are good food for crows because they're full of fat and protein and starch and sugar. Well, the sun was just high enough in the sky so that its warm sunlight warmed up the little seed. You see, the seed was black, and black things warm up faster in the sunlight than white things. And so the seed warmed up and melted its way into the snow, down, down into the snow, until it was out of sight of the crow. The crow couldn't see it, and never did get to eat that particular little seed. Boy, that sure was a lucky little seed. It had two close calls just at the beginning of the time when it was on its own, away from the tree and the pine cone where it had grown. The squirrel didn't get it, and the crow didn't get it, and now the seed was safe inside the snow. All winter, whenever it would snow some more and more snow would get on top of the seed until it was nice and deeply buried in the snow, where no animal could find it. It must have been cold in the snow, you're thinking. Well, it was sort of cold. Not very cold, because the snow is like a blanket. And all winter, when fierce winds would blow, ice would form on the trees and rocks that were higher than the snow, the little seed was safe and protected from the storms in its snow, where it was not too cold and not too warm. It was a little cold, and that's just right for little seeds from Scottish pine trees, because They stay out where it's cold for a while, then they can grow in the spring. They have to get cold in the winter, or else they won't grow in the spring. Sure enough, after the winter time, the spring came. The air got warmer and warmer until the snow began to melt, and after a while, all the snow was melting, and the little seed was carried down by the water into mud. No, you say, mud. That's no good. But you're wrong, it is good. It's good for a seed, because seeds can grow in mud. And when it was warm enough, the seed began to grow. First, the water from the mud seeped through the heavy coat that was over the seed. It's not really a coat, but we call it a coat because it covers the seed and protects it. When the water got inside, that made the seed start to grow. It grew and grew until it broke its coat open. And then a little root started to grow out of the seed. Now, you remember that I told you that inside the seed there was sugar, starch, protein, and fat. All the foods that a seed needs to grow. So this seed was able to grow, but it only had a little food in it because it was only a little seed. And if the seed used up all of its food and couldn't get more, then it would die. Well, I told you that this little root grew out of the seed and into the mud. And the root began to suck up water from the mud and pump it into the seed. Because that's what roots are for, you know, to get water. And also to hold the seed up. And sure enough, the roots began to hold the seed up. And from out of the seed also grew something else besides roots. Do you know what? A few little leaves started to grow out of the seed. Roots grew down, and the leaves grew up, and the roots stuck hard in the mud and pushed the leaves up, 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 out of the mud and into the air. And just in time, too, because if the leaves weren't in the air and ready to start making food, the little tree would have died. But as soon as the leaves pushed through the top of the mud and were out in the air and the sunlight, they began to make sugar. That's what leaves are for, you know, to make sugar. Air comes in through little holes on the bottom of the leaves, and water comes up into the leaves from the roots, up through the stem into the leaves. And the air and the water mixed together are made into sugar by the leaves, which use a green chemical called chlorophyll. That's why leaves are green, because of that green chemical in them. As soon as the little tree's leaves were out in the air and the sunlight, they started breathing in air and making sugar, and then sending the sugar back down through the stem to feed the roots so that the roots could grow deeper into the mud. It was very important for the roots to get into the mud as deeply, as quickly as they could, because soon it began to rain almost every day, more and more rain, and little rivers called rivulets began to form on the ground and flow downhill. If the water was flowing too fast where the tree was, it would wash it away and the little tree would drown. But the little tree got its roots deep enough into the ground so that the roots held firm and the little tree was not washed away by the spring floods. But even then, the roots still had to keep going deeper and deeper into the ground to get ready for the summer. Meanwhile, as the roots were going deeper, the leaves were growing higher and higher as the little tree's stem grew longer. This sure was a lucky little tree because it was growing in a sunny spot not under a lot of big trees that would take up all of the sun and cast their shadows on the little sapling that was growing. You know, a little tree is called a sapling because its wood is full of sap. See, the tree grows wood in its stem to hold it up. The wood is very hard and strong and holds the tree up, because when the wind blows hard, grass just falls down, but a tree could keep standing up straight. Well, when summer came, the little tree was all ready for the troubles that come in the summer. You know what kind of trouble comes in the summer?
No.
Too much sun and not enough rain. And when that happens, little trees can dry up and wither and die. But not this little tree. Like I said, it was all ready. The roots had gone deep into the ground, deep enough to find water even when the top of the ground was very dry. And the leaves were covered with wax that kept them from drying out. The only part of the leaf where the air could get in or out was through little holes on the bottom, and the little tree could open and close those little holes under its leaf, so that when it was very hot and dry out, it would close the holes. But when it would rain sometimes, or when it was cooler in the early morning or the evening, it would open the holes and breathe in air so it could make more and more sugar to send down to the roots and keep growing and growing. And so the little tree kept growing through the summer, and by autumn, the little tree was 4 inches high. After summer comes the autumn. That's also called fall. The reason it's called fall is because leaves from all different trees start falling down. They turn yellow, red, brown, orange, and they start falling down off the branches. All the leaves, except from trees that are called evergreen trees, because they're always green. And our little tree was an evergreen. It was a Scottish pine. And those leaves stay green through the whole year. They don't turn yellow and brown and fall down. And so the little tree was able to keep growing until pretty late in the fall, when it became really cold and the tree stopped growing. The other trees had to drop their leaves or else they would die in the winter, because the winter is too cold for them and they would freeze. But the little tree and other evergreen trees are special. They have special chemicals in the leaves and in the wood that keep them from freezing when it becomes very, very cold. In the middle of winter, it became very, very cold. There was ice on the leaves of the little tree. The wind howled through the empty branches of the big trees growing around there. And two of the biggest trees all of a sudden made a very loud noise, like a rifle shot, and they cracked open from the cold. But the little tree managed to survive and keep living through the winter until it became warmer again. The ice and snow melted and rain started to fall. It was sunny at times, and the little tree began to grow earlier than lots of the other trees that didn't even have their leaves yet. For the little tree had kept its green leaves through the whole winter and was able to start growing real early. That way, the little tree was able to grow faster than a lot of other trees, so that it was big enough to get the sun, while other trees were still in the shade. During the spring, the little tree grew very well, but then there was a new danger for the little tree. Insects. Insects were laying their eggs on the ground and on the branches. And the eggs hatched, and little worms came out, like caterpillars. And we better turn this over to the other side now. I was telling you about the little caterpillars, the little grubs that were eating up the leaves of the other trees. But they didn't eat the leaves of the little tree because the little tree was able to make special chemicals in its leaves, turpentine and other things that smelled bad for the grubs, and they kept away from that tree. So the little tree was able to keep growing fast, even when some of the other trees had most of their leaves eaten up. The little tree kept growing and growing in the summer, putting out new branches, making its stem longer and longer, growing many, many more little leaves, and putting its roots deep into the ground. When the leaves fell off all of the other types of trees, the next autumn, the little tree had grown 2 feet and then got ready for the winter. But that winter was a particularly hard winter. There was lots and lots of high winds, very, very cold, whipping out of the north from Canada. So much ice formed on one of the branches of the little tree that that branch died. The leaves turned yellow and then brown, and the whole branch broke off in a high wind. But the rest of the tree was still okay, and the next spring, when the sap began to rise up from the roots, up the stem, and into the leaves, the broken part sealed over, closed over, so that no sap oozed out of there, and the little tree began growing faster than ever before. By the end of this third year, the third growing season for the tree, it was almost 5 feet high, and a rather nice-looking tree by then. After a while, winter came once more, and snow lay over the whole forest on the ground. Now, near the little tree, there was a house in which 2 children lived with their parents. Late in December, the children started saying to their father, "Dad, let's go out and get ourselves a Christmas tree for Christmas." And their father said, "Well, children, I think that instead of chopping down a tree, what we should do is get an artificial tree. It looks like a tree, but it's not really a tree. But we could pretend that it's a real tree and put ornaments on and decorate it for Christmas." But the children got angry and said, "Lots of children have real Christmas trees for Christmas, and we want a real one too." And they insisted on getting a real tree, so that one day the children and their father took their axes and saws and went out into the forest to look for a Christmas tree. It was a nice, bright day out. It was relatively warm, with the sun shining and reflecting brightly off the new fallen snow. The children trudged along, listening to the sound that their boots made, crunching through a thin layer of frost that had formed on top of the snow the night before. As they passed by the little tree, their father said, "Well, look at this tree." And the children said, "Oh no, that one's too small. And besides, one of the branches is no good. It must have frozen in the winter before." So they walked on. They walked away into the woods, and after a while, you could hear the sound of a saw and of axes chopping. And then a little while later, the children and their father came walking back past the little tree, dragging a small Douglas fir that they had cut down. They took that fir tree into the house and closed the door. Well, the winter was over early that year. The spring came in February, with nice warm days and bright sun, the snow melting, and the tree began to grow very early. In the spring, there wasn't too much rain and lots of sun, and the tree was able to keep growing and growing faster than it had ever grown before. And when summer came, it wasn't too dry, but there was plenty of rain for the summer, and the tree kept growing and growing quite fast, until, by the autumn, it had become a very handsome big tree, and it was well on its way towards becoming a tree just like the one that many years ago it had fallen from when it was a little seed. It was well on its way to growing into a nice big Douglas pine that in another 10 years would be 50 feet high. In fact, the little tree already had a few of its own pine cones that it had grown. And in those pine cones, the little tree was growing its own tiny little seeds. Well, I said that autumn came again, and the leaves fell off of a lot of the other trees. But the little tree stayed green, just as it had every winter before. And just as the winter started, the children started telling their father that they wanted a Christmas tree again for that Christmas. Again, the father said to them, "Why don't you get an artificial tree this year?" The children said, "No, we want a real one. We want a real tree for Christmas." And so the children took their axes, and the father took his saw, and they trudged out over the snow looking for their real Christmas tree. It wasn't long before they came to the little tree. And the children said, "That's the one we want. That's a very nice tree. It's the nicest tree here, and it's just the right size to fit into our living room for Christmas." And so the children took their axes and began chopping and chopping at the stem of the tree. And the father sawed with his saw until the little tree fell down onto the snow. Then the children and their father picked up the tree and dragged it off towards the house, leaving the tree's roots in the ground and a little stump of the stem sticking up through the snow. When they got the tree into the house, they stood it up and nailed a stand to the cut part of its stem so that the tree could stand up in the living room. You see, it didn't have its roots anymore, so it couldn't stand by itself, and they had to hammer something onto it to make it stand. So now, in its wooden stand, the little tree was held up in the warm, dry living room. Then the children took all sorts of decorations and hung them on the branches and leaves of the tree. They put logs into the fireplace and lit a fire, and the room was nice and warm. But that was no good for the little tree, because when it was warm in the room like that, the leaves started giving off water into the air, and the tree started drying up. You see, it couldn't drink. It couldn't get any more water up the stem from its roots, because it didn't have any more roots. They were cut off. And so the tree became drier and drier. The children had their Christmas party, and then it was New Year's. And then the mother said she didn't want that tree in her living room anymore, because it was getting the living room dirty. The leaves were falling off. They were turning yellow and drying up and falling off the tree and getting on the rug. So the children and their father pulled the tree down and dragged it out to the side of the house. And there they chopped off all the branches and threw them out in the garbage. And they took the stem and chopped it up into short pieces that they piled up by the side of the house. But you know, the tree wasn't quite dead yet. We forgot about the roots. The roots were still alive. And when spring came and the snow melted and it started to rain and the warm water got down into the ground and the sun came out, the roots began drinking in water again from the ground and pumping it up the stem. But the stem was cut off, and the water just started oozing out from the cut part of the stem, the part that was left sticking out of the snow before when the tree was cut down. The roots kept pumping water and pumping water, but they got weaker and weaker because there were no leaves to send sugar down to them to eat. And after a while, the roots couldn't pump water anymore, and they died. All during the spring and the summer, the little pieces of the stem that had been cut up and piled up by the side of the house, those logs, dried in the sun. And by next autumn, they were all very, very dry. And in the winter time, after the children had gone out to get their next Christmas tree, they took those logs into the house and put them into the fireplace and burnt them to keep the room nice and warm and dry. So the stem of the tree, those logs that they put in the fireplace, burnt up, and lots of it went up in smoke, and all that was left of the little tree was a handful of ashes in the fireplace. Except for one thing. I told you that the tree had grown its own pine cones, and that there were little seeds in those cones. When the family was dragging the tree towards their house for Christmas, a couple of those pine cones fell off the tree, and the seeds were shaken out onto the ground. And you know, if some of those seeds were lucky and didn't get eaten up by squirrels or by crows, and if they landed just in the right spot where there was some nice mud to grow in, and where it wasn't all dark and shady from other trees, but where they could get some sunlight. If some of those seeds were lucky and didn't get washed away in the spring, then some of them could start to grow and become little trees and bigger trees, and maybe someday one of those could grow up into a full-grown tree 50 feet high, full of leaves, and lots of its own pine cones full of seeds growing on the tree. If one of those seeds was lucky, it could become a big tree someday. That's the story of the little tree.